This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
Hey, and welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast. This is our ninth consecutive on-time scheduled podcast recording. Let's give us a big hand, and we're on. Every week, we read a bunch of comics between the three of us. One of us will do a write-up on the website of what they thought was the best pick, and then we will come on here and tell them why I was wrong or right.
And then usually wrong.
It's usually wrong. It's true. This week, Connor... Again, we swing for the fences here, because he's chose. Let me just get this right. It's a Batman book by Frank Miller.
Yeah, but okay. This should be a shock to the two of you, because you've both heard me rant about how bad I thought this book was.
Yeah, I was shocked.
Here's the thing. It sort of shifted on a dime for me when I read the book yesterday. This is the Frank Miller All-Star Batman and Robin, The Boy Wonder number 3 is my pick of the week. I was really excited for this because Frank Miller, I think, is one of the writers who knows Batman the best. I think probably him and maybe Greg Rucka at the time, you know, at the moment. And so when they announced Frank Miller was doing the All-Star Batman book, I was really excited, probably looking forward to that book more than anything I'd been looking forward to in a while. The first issue was good, I thought. I think we picked it as pick of the week.
It was actually an ironic pick of the week.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Okay. I was really grumpy that week. I had a bunch of bad comics, and it was like the worst. I was like, well, this looks like it'll be really good, and I didn't think it was. Moving along.
All right. Well, I didn't hate the first issue. I thought it was okay. It was a bit weird, in that everything Frank Miller has written lately has sort of been like Sin City. It's almost like he got into that world and he can't escape it. You know, even Batman Strikes Again, the sequel to The Dark Knight Returns, was weird like that. And everything's just sort of been in that hard-boiled, gritty type of narrative. And it doesn't really suit Batman. But it wasn't too bad the first issue. The second issue, I thought, was terrible. It was like over the top. Batman was calling Dick Grayson a little bastard and...
He is.
Well, he is, but...
It was just... You know, there you just go. It was weird.
It was jarring. It was... I was shocked. I didn't know what to think reading it. It just jarred me completely out of the book, and I didn't like it at all. But reading this issue, I came to realize it's if I looked at it as a Sin City-fied version of the DC Universe, it would actually be a lot of fun to read. If I didn't take it so seriously, I think what happened was I had high expectations in the first two issues. I kind of hoped for another Batman Year One or Dark Knight Returns, and when it wasn't like that, I was crushed, and that sort of colored my view of it. Now if I just sort of look at it as a sort of fun ride and not get so wrapped up in it, it's a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, that's probably a good way to go with it, but I was surprised that because, you know, I was surprised that you picked it because Batman's only in it for like two pages, and it's all Black Canary.
Well, Batman doesn't have to be in it to be a good book.
Well, I mean, it just seems like it. Just, I mean, I'm sure, you know, there's a master plan and all the plots will tie into it, and you know, just being impatient. But I mean, the whole first two thirds of the book about Black Canary was just. I found it really hard to read. I found the layouts kind of awkward and just kind of over wordy, and then it just didn't really kind of pay off. It didn't, you know. And then all.
Well,
then switched...
I do think the way that a lot of the ways the. Frank Miller uses a lot of third-person narration.
Right.
Or, well, actually, he uses sort of a mix of third and first, but he uses a lot of narration, and I thought the placement, Ron is right, the placement of the boxes is just confusing a lot of
times. I mean, the first, like, five or six pages were painful to read. Like, it took me, and maybe I'm just...
Well, I think that was the
point. He was just reading,
because...
I know. Yeah. I mean, I was like, I didn't know where to look. I didn't know where, and I guess that was the point of the.
You're supposed to. I think
of that section.
To evoke. She's a bar. Yeah. The whole first two thirds is introducing the Black Canary of this Sin City DC universe.
The cover introduces us to her crotch.
Right. You get introduced to her crotch a couple more times in the story too, but especially the double page spread that I just randomly opened up to right now.
There's a double entendre.
Yeah. She's a bartender in this rough seedy bar in Gotham. And it's very, I think he does a good job of evoking the crazy bar atmosphere on the page. There's dialogue everywhere, random comments that don't make any sense, but you overhear as you walk through a bar. A lot, you know, just a lot of chaos, especially in a bar like that. I've been to bars that are sort of scary like this.
Do the bartenders wear masks
and fishnets?
Hot.
But you're right. It hasn't really gone anywhere. We're issue 3, and Batman and Dick Grayson are still in the car driving to the Batcave.
It's like DC's ultimate vision, like you said in the review.
While they're making the 15,000-mile journey to the Batcave, all this other stuff is going on.
Through land, sea, and air.
Yeah. I just really... That part is weird. I don't understand why they're not at the cave yet, but I really liked the Black Canary part. I thought it was very...
Well, I mean,
city-like.
I mean, I thought the whole issue was pretty crappy until the last, you know, four pages with Superman, which I didn't know that they were going to cross over the characters in the. Is this All-Star Superman the same one that's going on in Grant Morrison's
book?
No,
I doubt it. I really doubt it. The whole point of the All-Star books is they don't
make
connect.
Sense.
They're all standalone books.
Doesn't make sense.
They don't connect to anything. That's the whole point.
You need them to connect, don't you?
Yes.
Let it go. These days are over.
Here's what I'm looking forward to.
The experiment died.
Yeah.
No, it didn't. No.
I'm looking forward to the next issue because this seems like a very pissed off, angry Superman.
Yeah.
And he set the newspaper on fire that he was reading with his X-ray vision. He crushed a milk bottle.
I liked how he broke the glasses in the glasses when he used the heat vision.
Now, here's the sense that Frank Miller doesn't like Superman.
Yes.
Or is it that he just really doesn't like him, or he's just thinking it's an easy symbol for all the stuff he doesn't like?
Probably both.
Little from column A, little from column B.
Here's what I also find interesting. Okay, Batman kidnaps Dick Grayson.
Yes.
To make him his partner. He still hasn't brought him home yet. They're still in the process of bringing him home. Dick Grayson already in the back of a milk carton.
15 hours later, it says. Or 15 hours ago, yeah. Oh, weird.
Maybe they stopped off for some movies.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
I noticed that at the end. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, how did he get on the back of a milk carton in Metropolis, of all places? Not even like a Gotham milk carton.
Right. So I think if you look, for me, if
what
I looked at it
year
as...
What is it? They have digital image sharing? It's supposed to be in the past, though, right?
I think it's now. I think it's present day.
It's a present day sort of. It's very technological.
Digital image sharing?
I'll hang up right now.
Stunned silence.
The milk industry is just embracing all forms of technology.
Well, isn't that what you'd have? I mean, otherwise they'd have to, like, Jimmy, I got the picture, and you'd have to run it over. You have a typo in your pick of the week, so there. Wait, you didn't type that. Connor did. Damn it! I'm trying to get you back, but it didn't work.
So I really liked it once I looked at it as sort of a over-the-top... crime noir DC Universe book, like an Elseworlds.
So you would say you had an epiphany?
I did have an epiphany. It was a moment of clarity right in the first page.
Didn't solve anything. It just made you enjoy that book.
Well, but that's almost what you need in that kind of thing when it's something where your expectations are somewhere and then you're reading it and it's not really jiving, and then sometimes it just takes one page to be like, ah, now I see.
Right.
I have an appropriate analogy for that.
Okay, go ahead.
Starship Troopers the movie.
And what's the epiphany moment?
Well, the first time I saw it, I was like, this is stupid. Or when I saw the trailer, I think, I was like, that looks like a dumb movie.
It was fantastic.
Right, but the reason that it's fantastic is because it's making fun of dumb movies.
Right.
It's making fun of all sorts of stuff.
Well, I'm fascist.
Don't realize that going in. Another movie would be Wild Things.
Right.
Well, Starship Troopers, I knew exactly what when I saw the trailer, I said, like, that looks great. Not because I thought it looked like a great science fiction movie.
I didn't. Either way. The point is, if you go in thinking it's going to be Total Recall or Predator, it's not. It's the opposite of that, using that. It's subverting that genre.
Well, the funny thing about Starship Troopers is a lot of people still think it's Total Recall Predator and really like it because they think it's just a big movie. You know, those people subliminally accept fascism.
Right.
Anyway, I just want to make one more point about the book that Ron was starting to say, but we cut him off. There are a lot of heroes in the book. In all the pre-press for this, he said he's basically going to touch upon every major hero in the DC universe.
He does that a lot.
So it's going to be... Literally, I mean, it's Ultimate Batman. It's All-Star Batman and Robin, but I mean, it's going to involve everyone. So,
but I'm curious to see if it's just going to be like, you know, because here, you know, Black Canary is inspired by Batman, and you know, she's a bartender who strikes back.
Right.
But I'm curious if there's going to be some sort of gathering and they all come together, or if this is just little.
Well, we'll
little
find out.
Vignettes.
I think it's 12 issues. You're right. Something does some need to start gelling soon.
You know what he does, and I'm waiting for the update on this when it happens. He does a damn good Ollie.
Yeah, that's gonna.
Yeah,
be
he
good.
Does. Yeah. Yep.
So I assume that he'll have to show up.
Also, in the bar, Ron, did you notice
his arm will get taken
Wolverine,
off?
Wolverine, Daredevil, and Elektra.
No, I didn't.
In
actually.
The background of the bar scene.
Oh,
I'll page look, two. I'll page two, back. Panel two.
Oh, I see Wolverine. Oh, and I see Daredevil. Oh, wow, look at that. I see Elektra. Oh, that's funny.
Sue them like they sued City of Heroes.
That's but yes,
I noticed something else, and I forget what it was. But when I was reading it, I was like, "Oh, look at that!" And it was one of those things that wasn't supposed to be there. But
that was really helpful.
Nice and
but yes,
vague.
A plot does need to emerge soon.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
And quick,
they're going home.
Yeah,
that's the story.
Issue 12.
Wouldn't it be
door.
Great? Oh, that's what I noticed. That one of the guys that she beats up has a Superman T-shirt, which I thought was curious.
Yeah.
He hates Superman.
Yeah.
He must.
Or, yeah. Huh.
There you go.
But I thought overall this was a really strong week.
This was an incredible week. It was, I mean.
You both said that, so you must have both bought a bunch of stuff I didn't buy.
Well, I mentioned in the pick of the week, also Spider-Man was really good, X-Factor 2 was really good, Daredevil was really good, New Avengers was also really good.
You must have missed Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, I work was dead, so I bought my books in the morning and I read them at my desk.
Ron buys his books in the morning and then he sits there on Instant Messenger. After he finishes each book, he tells me how good it is while I'm working.
Well, it was unbelievable because there was a string of like maybe probably a good 5 books where each one I read was better than each one was better than the next.
Ooh, X Factor. Ooh, yeah. I just finished New Avengers. Ooh, Daredevil.
I bought X Factor too.
I couldn't
find X Factor 1 anywhere, so I just said F it, and I'll check it out. And I have thoughts.
Okay. Well, do you want to share?
I will.
Okay. I just want to say I made a mistake this week, and I bought a book that I had previously dropped.
Ooh. Oh, what book?
Batman Superman.
Oh, so you did drop it.
I did drop it.
Oh, I thought it wasn't that bad, this issue. It was better.
I can't stand Bizarro, so I stopped by. But it was over IM. This is why I made me think of it was... I was reading the list of new books, and I asked Ron if I had indeed dropped Superman Batman because I couldn't remember.
Yeah, because I'm supposed to remember what you read.
So he did a bad job because he told me no, and I bought it. Wait a minute, I did drop this. Oh,
just ask me; I'll always tell you yes.
$3 wasted. All right, go ahead, Josh.
So I read X Factor 2 because I thought, hey, everybody liked X Factor 1 a lot. I tried to find X Factor 1. Apparently, when a book gets popular, it sells out.
As it happens.
Was this your new store or your old store?
Actually, it's a third-party store.
Ooh.
I did a little exploring. I was in the neighborhood of a comic shop, and I thought, well, I'm just getting my books here.
Oh.
Isn't that awesome? No discount, though.
Ah.
But it was nice freedom. Anyway, it was a little confusing. Now, I'm trying to figure out if that's because of the art or that's because of the writing or it's because I don't know the 800 people in it and the main character is a guy who can replicate himself.
Can I add a quick point before Ron responds?
Sure.
I do agree. I was actually going to bring this up. I was going to actually go through it and ask you a bunch of who these characters were. I mean, I know the main characters. I know the ones that were in the last X Factor, and I know like Siren, you know, like, but like this Monet person, I don't know who she is.
All right. Well, before we get to that, let me address Josh. Is that I really think probably, you know, 70% of your confusion is probably from not reading issue one.
There's a little thing at the first page says who everything is. You told me what was going on.
Yeah, I don't think it's that at all because I was confused by a lot of who the people are. There's not a lot of exposition.
True. Not a lot of exposition. True. I thought a lot with the Siren plot line was carried over from the last issue, and I could see by not reading that you wouldn't kind of know what was going on. Like you don't know what she's up against and what the deal is.
There's the page where the dude is falling off of the roof, and a bunch of people want to go save him. Somebody swoops down from out of nowhere to rescue him. That's Monet.
Yep. Right. M.
Now, at the beginning of this. Now, one of Jamie Madrox's are down, and he always wears the shirt with the dots. That's helpful.
Yep.
Yeah, that's...
Then you have, I guess this is Wolfsbane?
Yep.
Okay. Then Wolfsbane says, "Let go or I'll bloody kill you. Jump somewhere. I don't know to where."
Well, if you look in the panel at the bottom, she was jumping to catch Richter, but Monet grabbed him before she caught him, and you see that his feet are right by Wolfsbane right as she misses.
Right. Now, who is Wolfsbane telling that he'll kill if they don't let go of her?
The cops trying to hold her back on the page before.
That wasn't too
You see, now that's the one thing where the art was awkward, because all you see is her back, and she's saying, "Let me go, I'll save
him." She looks like a man.
She looks like a man, and she's not in wolf form yet.
Too.
And then the next panel we see her, she's, you know, changed into wolf.
Yeah, that was confusing.
Right off from the bat, I was like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, I think that's the art's
fault. Joke about a flea treatment, and that's cheap.
Yep.
Madrox is running around.
Well, you're going to have that with Madrox.
That's fine. I get that, too. Then they had a scene where, like, somebody had planned on catching Siren.
Yep.
But it didn't really happen, so I was like, for, like, three pages, I'm like, wait, she was just in the other room.
Well, yeah, it was a simulation. The guy's holding the magician guy was showing what would have happened.
But with the art not being incredibly clear, it made it a little more difficult, too.
But
these are my problems.
Yeah.
But you know what...
I thought it was still enjoyable, though.
You know what balances it out? That this second issue came out a mere 2 weeks after the first issue?
Yeah, you're right, aren't you?
Yeah.
So, I thought that was kind of quick.
I actually, and the first issue was late, and I don't know if it was late because of production or because Marvel held it back or whatever, but, you know, hey, you know, next issue 2 weeks later, they're back on schedule. That's okay in my book, so I'll take
a little confusion. That's really good. That's quite, they should be lauded for that.
I have positive comments, too, though. Just
I like Layla Miller a lot.
Yeah, I really did, too, but they need to get on with it.
Well, yeah, it's the same thing.
I mean, you can't do that for another issue,
right? And Peter David will milk the joke.
He'll do it. He'll do it for. He will drive.
Because the thing is like very. You know, like I really like the humor aspect of comics a lot, and it's very. It's actually really rare that the comics that we read. Like I don't read humorous comic books. But the one
read this, it's funny. No, I don't read humor.
Yeah, no, but I mean, no, come on. I mean, like Batman and Robin didn't make you laugh, you know. But
yeah, it did.
Right, true, but not for the right reasons.
Oh, it did. It was the captions were funny.
Right, but there was the one line where they're talking to Layla Miller and Guido's, you know, asking her how she knows the stuff, and she says because, and he says you're Layla Miller, and she says yes, now you're getting it, and he said if it is a massive headache, then yes, and that just made me laugh out loud. And
really?
I love that joke. If by it you mean, you know, but there are moments Peter David will write, you know, in the book there'll be one, two, maybe three moments where there are laugh out loud moments that are, you know, that are the payoff for me as far as, you know, in terms of the dialogue and things like that. So.
I like her character. I think it's funny, but I think she's got the potential to be.
Yeah, he's got.
It's already getting old. I want to know what's up with it. I mean, I think that if the idea is that her is this a new character never seen before?
Yep.
Okay, if the idea is that her mutant power is that she's just quite perceptive, I think that's kind of funny, and I think you can use that a lot.
I think
what does she do?
She
knows stuff.
If she shows up once or twice, an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine, but
you can do a storyline around it. You can do whatever. I find Jamie Madrox to be incredibly interesting as a character.
I've always loved this character.
Right. I mean, it's just there's a lot, so much you can do with that, and so that's good. Yeah. I may buy the third one.
Do you guys realize this may be the first time all three of us have read the book?
Wow.
Except for Daredevil. Except for Daredevil.
Or at least all three of us read the book in the week it came out.
Yes.
Let me ask you something about Daredevil.
Yeah. Let's move it on to Daredevil.
How? That's how we do it. How often is he going to be exposed / captured?
Yeah, exactly. I think
where do you go from here?
Well, what you said in the Power View. It's getting to the point where you can't do much more to him.
Well, he's done, isn't he? I mean, this is...
He's going to jail.
Do you notice on the cover that...
Bendis is almost done.
Well, this is the last arc for Bendis. So this
are
is,
we
this,
sure
this
about that? Because we said that about the last arc.
No, this is true.
How many issues left, though?
I looked into it, and this is the, I don't know how many issues are left, but I know this is the last
next
arc.
One. Said it says to be concluded at the end.
Yeah, I guess so. But did you notice the cover has Elektra and Black Widow, but Black Widow's pulling down her Black Widow outfit to reveal the Daredevil outfit?
I didn't notice that.
I don't know what that means, but I mean, the thing is that, yeah, you're right. I mean, they keep playing with the exposed Murdoch, Chase go after him, the feds want him, but I mean, this issue blew me away.
I thought it was good.
I thought it was great.
But, as we said before, and I mean it even more now, the next writer is just...
screwed.
Like, he's just calling up the office, Joe, how about a reboot? Because I got nothing.
Please. Can I bring back the Daredevil armor? It's like there's nothing you can do. It's like...
There's nothing. He's in jail. You do the Oz storyline. Where people try to rape Matt Murdock, and that doesn't work out, and he starts a gang of the blind people.
Yeah, no, that writer is just screwed. But it was a good issue.
I think it's going to be Brubaker.
The writer? No, it's not.
No?
No.
No.
Isn't he
exclusive to
Marvel
now? He's on X-Men.
Yeah, he's doing X-Men.
Yeah, he's moving to X-Men.
Yeah, okay. Could do it. Who would it be? Who can follow this?
it's going to be
Ron
a tough...
Ron Zimmerman.
Is that who it is?
You know what? It's probably been solicited, actually.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm looking. I'm looking for it right now.
I mean, but
hey,
this...
while he looks for it, Josh, guess what I bought? Guess.
Tricked?
Well, not actually. I got Tricked for Christmas, but that's a different story.
And my copy just came in today.
I bought the first three issues of Loveless.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Talk to me. It's a little difficult.
It is. I thought the first issue was really the best one.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I read the first issue. I was like, "Ooh, wow! This is going to be my pick of the week if the rest are this good." But
yeah,
it's kind of like Batman in that it's three issues in. There really isn't a plot yet.
Well, that's Brian Azzarello for you,
right?
I mean, he does tone to its finest.
Yeah, no, there's some great scenes.
Yeah, exactly. But overall, you're like, "What the hell's happening?" And you have this guy, Wes Cutter. Basic plot is, and this may interest you or not, if you like Azzarello's 100 Bullets, if you like his work he did in Hellblazer,
Clint Eastwood.
It's a lot like that. But basically, guy in Missouri owns his own land, joins the – this is all revealed sort of backwards, but the major plot is he joins – once the Civil War makes it out to them – we're in the 1860s, by the way. Once the Civil War makes it out to them, he decides to go ahead and fight for the South. This is after the fact of the whole
thing. To support Virginia, wasn't it?
Well, the idea was
Virginia's war. There
was Virginia,
a throwaway comment about
that. Yeah. The same way – well, Virginia meaning it's Virginia's war. It comes out of
right.
the government, the Confederate government in Virginia.
Right,
it's not our war. It doesn't affect us, but it's spread to us. So they don't really believe in the cause so much. And in fact, one of the things I noticed he does is he makes the character sympathetic in the fact that he goes, "Do you think this is about slaves?" And he's like, "Well, I never thought owning one man was a good thing to do." You know, like all of a sudden you realize, okay, he's not a slave owner. So that way everybody can like him a little bit more. But he fought for the South. And after the fact, after the war, the Union seized all the lands of people who fought for the South. And so this guy is just trying to get back to his land and back to his house. And the Union is telling him, "You can't have it." And so you don't know what he's going to do. That's where we're at. You don't know if he's going to fight them or he's going to join up on their side. They're offering to help him somehow and then screw them over or something. That's where we're trying to figure out. But it's very tony. It's very moody. It does some flashbacky things in the middle of it, which makes it difficult to tell where we are and what's happening.
And there's a weird thing with his wife, who I'm not convinced is real.
Yeah, me neither. But she's always naked.
Yeah.
Which is kind of
when she's not killing people.
Right.
Sometimes both.
I'm not sure if she killed people either.
That's the thing.
If she did,
if she's not real, then he's doing it.
Right.
Or the brother. I don't know. Something's weird's going on. Something is not normal. That's all I know.
I'm a huge fan of that artist, Marcelo Frusen. He did Hellblazer for
good.
A long
He's
time.
Very
He's very good. It's not a straightforward comic book. It's really something you have to really pay attention to. You may have to read through pages a couple of times. It challenges you a little bit, which is good. It's not always bad.
I love the fact that it's a Western.
Yeah.
It's a different genre. It's a different...
What's funny is that these are the same exact people who did El Diablo probably 4 or 5 years ago. El Diablo was a quick Vertigo mini that came out for comics, and it didn't do well at all, apparently, because I remember being at a Vertigo panel with Karen Berger. Is that right? Yeah.
Yes.
And somebody asked if they were ever going to reprint it, and she was just like, no. They didn't do well at all. And they came out with the exact same thing. It's like a new story by the same people set in the West, which failed before, but we'll try it again. But you can't
get
El Diablo in trade form. But it was good. I liked it. But I'm going to keep buying it probably for a couple more issues.
Do you know how many it's supposed to go?
I don't. I don't even know if it's an ongoing.
It could be. That would change the way I perceive the plot if it is an ongoing.
Yeah. It's at least 12. I don't think he's going to be doing 6 of them. But
for some reason, I just had in my head that it was a miniseries. So I don't know why.
What it was is that I was reading this first, and then I managed to track down a copy of Jonah Hex 1, which is why I posted about it, because it was so good and easy to deal with.
Right.
Not in a bad way. Not like
no.
Oh,
it was just
so
straightforward. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was nice. And there are good. There are two Western books coming out of DC. They're not Vertigo. Jonah Hex isn't Vertigo. I don't think.
No, it's not.
But it, you know, they're totally coming from different places.
Good stuff.
Yep, I'm glad.
Did we kill Ron with boredom?
A little bit, almost. I'm teetering. speaking of teetering,
Wolfsbane.
Speaking of teetering,
go ahead.
For the past few years, Matt Murdock's life has been teetering on the edge of destruction. Oh. Now, pushed beyond the limit, Matt finds himself behind the eight ball with no clear way out. The people he calls friends slowly deserting him, and Hell's Kitchen slowly slipping out of control. The question is, when his back is against the wall, just how far will Daredevil go to get back what is his? That's Daredevil number 82, coming out on February 15th, with the new creative team of Michael Lark doing art.
Ooh.
And Ed Brubaker writing.
Oh,
suck it!
It's the Gotham Central team.
Yes, that's what it was.
So the question is, how, you know, who can follow that? There you go.
You know what?
If there's anybody who can do it, it's him.
I'm in.
All in.
You know what's funny though is that description, it says nothing.
Right.
I know.
Well,
already know.
Lots of advertisers do. They do. They write nothing.
He's screwed.
Marketing.
And right now, Ed Brubaker is at home going, Stilt Man. No. No.
The Vulture.
I love the Vulture. That's
you know another
villain.
Great thing though.
The old guy.
Lark and Brubaker. Every single issue came out on time. Every time.
Oh, there we go. You see, the thing is, quality and on time, you're going to win every time. Mm-hmm. You know, and I didn't mean that to rhyme. Oh, and that's just...
Oh, man. It's like
oh, shit, we freestyling.
Oh, God.
Double true.
That's awful. Anyway, so that's the skinny on Daredevil, so we'll see.
That's
so
really
the
good. I'm excited now.
So the other book that blew me away this week was New Avengers number 14.
I liked it a lot. Wait, oh. Stop. This we need to talk about. Ron and I had this discussion previous. He called me up. He called me up before I read it to tell me some gibberish about the book that I didn't really understand.
Well, no. Well, back it up a little. Connor had his epiphany on Batman and Robin.
Oh, right.
So I also had an epiphany when reading New Avengers that I shared with Connor.
Yeah, he called me very excitedly on the phone about it.
The other day, yeah. It wasn't right while reading the book, like with you, but it was shortly thereafter when I was driving home.
You read them together?
Yes, over the phone sometimes.
Yeah.
You do the voice of Tony Stark. Well, I think... Sorry.
But anyway, the New Avengers was really good because there's been a lot of stuff going on in the Marvel Universe, and you've heard me rant about the Secret War and all that kind of stuff, and it's been very kind of all over the place. And in this one single issue... By using Bendis was able to use Spider-Woman and what's going on with her to tie up a lot of loose plot threads within the various books in Marvel. Basically, Spider-Woman, you know, as seen throughout New Avengers, is working for Hydra, and finally Captain America picks up on this and confronts her. And this whole issue is her explaining her situation, where basically Hydra contacted her and gave her back her powers. but, you know, she didn't want to work for them, so she went to Fury, who made her a agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., and it's this kind of spy espionage double agent thing. So she was working for S.H.I.E.L.D. while making Hydra think she was working for them. Then the whole Secret War thing happened, and Fury, as he puts it, falls off the grid, and she's left there hanging.
He falls off the grid because everybody hates him now.
Yeah, because the Secret War blew up in his face, and he lost the respect of the heroes, and he got fired from S.H.I.E.L.D., and he went underground. And right after the Secret War thing happened, the New Avengers formed, and they recruited Spider-Woman, and she's been in the awkward position she's been in for the past, 14 issues of New Avengers. So she finally reveals this to Captain America and, by de facto, the rest of the Avengers, and they all agree that she's not lying. And the moment that they kind of agree that she's not lying and that she's, kind of in a pickle, her phone rings, and it's Fury, and who, makes his presence known to the Avengers.
It's like they know not to call until you're over them.
And so, essentially, because one of the things is towards the end of the conversation, they kept on asking Spider-Woman where Fury was and are you still working for him, and she was denying.
And the phone rings, and it's Fury.
Then the phone rings, and it's Fury, and he says, okay, guys, let me explain what's going on. And basically, Fury is contacting them because he's excited that the Avengers are back together, and he thinks they've got a base of power to work from by using the Avengers. So they kind of introduce Fury as kind of like a behind-the-scenes underground kind of strategist for the Avengers.
Which is cool. Kind of,
yeah, it's an interesting direction to take the book in, which I didn't see coming at all. And it kind of, and like I said, the epiphany was all these other books that I've been reading in the Marvel Universe that didn't really make sense all now kind of make sense. So
sounds to me like a good place for me to recommend Sleeper. If you've never read Sleeper.
Sleeper is a good book, which you turned me on to.
Oh, so good. Basically, I need same to pick idea.
Up. I only have the first two trades. I need to pick up the other ones.
Sleeper agent joins the criminal organization. Only one guy in the government knows it's him, and that's
the same thing with Spider Woman and Nick Fury.
Exactly. The same.
Interesting. So, do you think that is this basically a ripoff of Sleeper in the Marvel universe?
It seems a lot like it. And then you got Brubaker taking over Bendis's book.
Yeah, that's
it's
going to
be revenge.
I bet they fight when they meet each other.
Well, regardless,
you know what?
Avengers,
the guy in Sleeper is kind of Nick Fury-esque.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Lynn.
Well, it was neat because Nick Fury, there are different kinds of Nick Fury, and I like this, kind of spy espionage Nick Fury. And it was kind of like it was a lot of fun to read. That's what I called to tell Connor that Fury was a lot of fun. So shall we talk about the ugly side of this week?
Okay.
Amazing Spider-Man number 527. Or Spider-Man Black Cat number 5.
Oh, even worse.
Sensing a theme.
Apparently,
you both bought them anyway.
No, I didn't buy any, either one.
Nice.
I'm moaning at his having continued to purchase them.
Or X-Men number 180. That was bad.
Give us a quick hit on each one.
All right, X-Men 180, Peter Milligan brought back Dupe.
Haven't everyone been clamoring for Dupe?
I guess so, apparently. Peter Milligan is hell-bent on that character.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man is back alive. Remember, he died. Now he's all better. He a web cocoon formed under a bridge in Queens and out popped. And what's funny is that there's literally, like, no joke, there's like a page, there's a panel with all the Avengers at a dinner table with Peter and Mary Jane and May. And Tony Stark is going, oh, well, this all makes sense because, spiders, shed their skin once in a lifetime. So this is like, it was just like, everybody was like, oh, okay, great. It was so.
They just cut off the letters at the pass.
Yeah, it was just like.
It makes sense. Please see Tony Stark's comments, page 8.
Yeah. That's J. Michael Straczynski.
Yeah. The
He's alive.
He obviously was injected with whatever they injected into Chris Claremont.
I think they've been drinking the same coffee.
Because, I don't know if I could tell them apart in a lineup.
Well, there's that, but then there's the fact that his first year was so really good.
Yep.
And from what you say, that's terrible.
Shall we invoke the sick boy reference from Trainspotting? The had it and lost it.
You had it, and then you kind of hack it. Basically, I think it's the universe. It's Sick Boy's unifying theory of all things.
Exactly, and in this case, J. Michael Straczynski bursts on the comic scenes with Rising Stars and Spider-Man.
Man, that was a slow fizzle.
Well, remember that first year, Rising Stars was awesome.
Oh yeah,
and then that was it though. See, after that, after about it was eight issues of Rising Stars.
Yeah,
It was eight issues. And then we went dark for a while.
Right.
Came back like with issue 9. I believe it was issue 9, which is like the People magazine issue. And it was all downhill from there. And as far as I'm concerned, Ultimate Amazing Spider-Man came after that.
Yes,
yeah, no,
it did.
Well, the problem with Rising Stars was that he and Top Cow got into an argument over the rights, and then he just stopped doing it. Like, that's why
protests.
It got so delayed. You know, it became a joke, you know, like, and so it was just unfortunate because it was a great.
I don't think
know,
I
start.
Even finished that out. I think I just stopped.
Oh, so
the art went south hard.
Yeah, it did.
And the Spider-Man stuff is that he picked up the book and he, like, picked up from whoever the previous writer was and he was kind of rolling with that. And then he thrusts upon this whole that Peter's actually really a spider and there's this secret cult of spiders in South America and that's where he gets his powers. And it's like,
That's where I started looking at the book going, ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where it stopped.
And then,
so give us the quick hit on Kevin Smith.
Spider-Man Black Cat. Now, you know, I know I should not be buying it, but this issue had Nightcrawler on the cover. And I was like, oh, Nightcrawler. Fantastic.
They darted you
shiny,
in the wild.
Shiny, pretty things.
They darted you in the wild. They drug you away to a zoo.
Well, all I got to say is that Terry Dodson's mailing it in because the art is getting more and more, like, I'll be generous and say loose.
Well, that's funny because you figure 5 months to do the issue.
Right. Well, keep
five
in mind,
months.
Also like X-Factor, the last issue of this came out maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. So this was, I was actually surprised to see this on. The problem is that there was such a large gap, and I don't even remember the last issue, so I don't really know what's going on. But in the span of this issue, you've got Spider-Man and Daredevil and Nightcrawler talking because they find out that whoever the guy they're chasing is a teleporter, and so they talk to Nightcrawler about how teleporters work and all stuff like that. When Nightcrawler is explaining how teleporters and how most teleporters are mutants, although there's a select grouping of non-mutants who are teleporters because the Nazis experimented on people during World War II and created people who could teleport, and these are just relatives of those people. Like,
that's just weird.
There's literally a page with swastikas all over it and, like, Joseph Mengele.
Mengele?
Mengele, whatever. Mengele.
He would be much less threatening if he was named Mengele.
Hey, Mengele. Hey,
hello, how are you? Excuse me.
It was just a very weird issue. It was just very,
Look,
very weird.
I don't know why you're complaining.
You have no right to complain.
Yep. So that was the bad side of this week.
You're volunteering to be raped, just in a different way.
Yeah.
My only bad thing was... first of all, Superman, Batman, forgetting I dropped it. And Batman. Well, they're still persisting with this Jason Todd's alive thing.
Oh.
Just real quick, why is he alive?
Don't know. I remember he just is. I was reading the interview with Judd when they first announced the story, and he said, the whys are not the important thing. It's the story.
So wait,
that's not
Judd,
the important
Judd,
thing. Everyone's going to know why Robin is back alive and how.
So Judd Winnick's writing Batman.
Yes.
I remember when I liked his work. I do.
Is Jason Todd going to be gay?
He may be. Actually, the rumor is this is the rumor that worries me the most is that he's going to be the new Nightwing after the 1 year later thing.
Ugh.
Because Nightwing's going to be Batman.
That's the other rumor.
As I haven't been following, help me out. Okay, the Hush storyline.
Mm-hmm.
This is where Jason Todd came out of, right?
No.
Wasn't that just
that
like
was Clayface pretending to be Robin.
Right.
Okay.
He pops up in the Judd Winnick Batman book as the Red Hood, which was who the Joker was before he was the Joker.
Sure.
There's a new Red Hood in town.
Was he? Or was that just in The Killing Joke?
No. That was the Joker's origin. He was a small-time crook. They put on the red mask, call yourself the Red Hood. Then he got turned into the Joker. It was a one-night thing.
Okay.
This new guy shows up wearing a red mask, calls himself the Red Hood for a few issues, and it's revealed it's Jason Todd. No hows or whys. Although, they made an allusion to it in one of the Teen Titans books, because he showed up there when he fought Robin, the current Robin. There may be something tied into this whole Infinite Crisis thing with all these people coming back from the dead. But that's the only place I've ever seen it even addressed. But in this one... Jason Todd's back, and he's feuding with the Black Mask, who is the crime lord of Gotham now, post earthquake. And,
so
he's
got Jason Todd, who no one liked in the first place, and readers voted to have killed.
Right.
The readers specifically voted to kill him.
Right.
And this and Judd, God bless his little soul, said, "Yeah, I'm going to bring back this guy."
Right.
Huh.
Well, it's the ultimate writer's challenge to bring back the dead, you know, the character from the dead that nobody likes and redeem him. You know,
I will say this: the last panel features Jason Todd on the ground with a knife in his heart. So, good. Not that I believe he's dead, because he's on the cover of the next issue thing. So,
with stitches.
I'm not sure what's going on. I don't like it. That's all I know.
And you keep buying it.
Well, it's Batman. I mean, it's issue 648. Come on.
You know, it's not like you have 1 through 400.
No, but I've got like 400 through 648 or something like that.
Yeah, it's an investment. You gotta, you know.
It's not an investment.
An emotional.
That investment is the wrong word. It's a habit. It's no investment. If you were to look up the prices of all my books that I have.
No. I'm not saying investment from a financial standpoint. It's an investment. It's a, like Connor said, it's an emotional investment.
Right.
You've been, it's like you, there's a reason why you continue to read the titles you like, because you're emotionally invested in the story.
I want to know what it would take to stop, for you to stop buying X-Men and you to stop buying Batman.
Bankruptcy?
Probably, or cancel the series.
Yeah.
No, but I
bought Batman
for
a year when Batman wasn't Batman. It was Azrael. Wore armor to kill people.
Yeah. Listen, Josh, just because you've never had an emotional attachment to a book like we had doesn't mean that
devalue. This is why I ask.
Yeah, it doesn't
questions.
Devalue it.
This is
yeah.
why I ask questions.
And you'd think that you would be because you are tattooed. You know, and so like you'd think that you would be putting up with the Sharkmen.
Oh, God, no way.
No, I can't even blame you for that either. Ugh.
That's terrible.
Those shark men are awful.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a tough thing.
Like, you know, what if they rebooted it and did it all in Archie style, and they said that's how it's going to be from now on?
That might do it.
What
that might
they did
do
a
it.
Full reboot. What if they did it Ultimate
like,
style?
Like Wolverine didn't have his mask; he had the little crown like Jughead.
Yeah. Actually, that might be entertaining. I might buy that.
Hey, Bob.
Although, you know, the Punisher Archie book was a great read a couple years ago.
Jesus.
Remember the Punisher?
Yeah.
Punisher versus Archie? That was pretty good.
You just came out from the cellar, buddy.
You know what was one good book that I've been picking up, which is the new issue came out this week, issue number 3, which was really good, was She-Hulk.
Was it?
The one thing, my problem with it, and kind of similar to you know, kind of the whole investment aspect, because you know how Marvel does the renumbering thing where they have two numbers on the issue?
Yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah.
For example, this is issue number 3 of volume 3 of She-Hulk, but it's technically issue number 100 if you added up all of the volumes together.
Yeah.
So this is the 100th issue extravaganza. But
they can't have it both ways. You can't renumber it and have the 100th issue extravaganza.
I absolutely agree. And it's funny because, Josh, you asked what it would take. If they canceled Uncanny and rebooted it with a number 1, I would probably walk away.
No, you wouldn't.
Really?
You know,
no,
I
you
that,
wouldn't.
No, but
I've
even
long,
if they've done it and then they come back.
No, they've never messed with Uncanny.
Oh.
Uncanny is one of the last books and Fantastic Four.
Every other book.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, no, they did it with Fantastic Four,
but they brought it back.
Right, yeah, but they've never tampered with Uncanny for some reason. I don't know why, but you know,
Chris
like
Claremont
because you
gone.
Would go to the Marvel building and you'd burn it
I
down.
I probably would.
But you wouldn't. I don't believe for a second you would stop buying X-Men.
I would have. It would be tough.
What about this?
See, you've already gone from not definitely not buying it to it'd be tough. You're already in the space of 30 seconds.
What if they canceled the current X-Men continuity and turned it over to the Ultimate continuity? They just
well,
stopped.
No, they're not going to do that.
I know.
I mean, I'm already buying the Ultimate. I'm already buying Ultimate X-Men. So I just kind of roll on then. But regardless, so I don't agree with the renumbering thing. But this She-Hulk is a little under the radar kind of book, which is Dan Slott is doing a really I know you know he's like the Yankee player, so whatever Don Slott. But
Slott.
But I mean this is the second issue I've been reading of it, and it's entertaining. It's a good read. So I don't know. That's just me.
Well, I think we've wrung every bit of discussion we can out of this Comics Week.
Yeah, a busy holiday week.
Driven it into the ground and killed it.
Yeah, pretty much. So that wraps up yet another iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast. Go to iFanboy.com and check out Connor's review, written review, and whatever comments there have been about that. And if you have any questions or want to contact us and tell us what comics you've been reading, you can email us at contact@iFanboy.com, or you can come to the site and post and talk to everybody on the site. So,
and we'll see you next week.
some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.